House Hunters, and we talk about the six F's of real estate, and tonight we are talking about flipping. Now, it's not all about flipping. One of the big questions when you're flipping or rehabbing a house is getting through the closing process. So we have Jennifer with us, and there's only two types of people that are in this room tonight. You have either used Jennifer for closing, or you're going to use Jennifer as a for closing. Yeah, because
you use me in general.
So anyway, I do have a few announcements before we get started. We are doing in-person meetups here, and right before our in-person meetup, we do boots on the ground. And so Kyle took us through a property tonight. We've been doing this for a long time now. However, we only have one more in November. And then in December, we're going to have our holiday party, and holidays get crazy. And then in January, everybody mark this on your calendar, in January, we are going to start holding hands with the Coin Group. And they meet on the third Tuesday, and we're going to start holding hands with them. We're going to do a meet and greet at 5 o'clock in the bar area. And they meet, help me out, Smokehouse Brewery.
Yeah.
What is it?
Smokehouse Brewery. On Dublin.
Brewery, okay, on Dublin Road. Anyway, it'll be on our calendar, so as my announcements go out, you'll get that on the calendar. And then as far as boots on the ground, what we're going to do is it's going to be as requested. So here's what I want you to do. When you find a house that you want to look at and you would like to have some input, then get a hold of Kyle to get into the house, and Kyle then will let me know, and we can actually go out and do it as a group to help whoever is looking at that house know what it would be like if we were rehabbing it, what we would do, so that they get a bigger picture of what to do with that property, and also what kind of income that you could make long-term, mid-term, or even short-term on that property, and how to work the numbers. And so anything that you want to look at, Kyle will show you anything you want to look at, because, you know, that's his job, you know, period. But we could do even more than one a month. If it were a busy month and folks wanted us to walk through some, we would be happy to do that. So before we turn it over to Jennifer, I want Kyle to tell us a little bit about the house that we looked at tonight.
Yeah, we were over in the Southern Orchards area, very close to Marion and German Villages. The house needed a lot of cosmetic stuff, and we also found out the roof might need replaced, too. But it was a good buy. It's a good, solid house. We felt like it had good bones. Very easy to work with what was there. Rents in, like, $1,600 for the three-bedroom. Your mortgage there would be about $900. There was some repairs that needed to be done, so a good spread for cash flow. ARVs in the area were about $225, and if you could get it for $120, $125, put half of that into it, I mean, you could be stepping into a lot of equity pretty quickly. And then we can move it here and head here.
Perfect. So anyway, thank you everyone for being here, and we're going to turn it over to Jennifer and let her tell us all about. She has a brand new title company. It is now her title company, and so of course you know me. I'm the entrepreneur in the group, constantly being the entrepreneur. So I want to hear a little bit about the background before she launches into real estate on how she decided to start her own title company. So
thank you, dear.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms.
Yes,
for having me here. But before I even get started, I wanted to just get everybody's name and your little quick story. So what's your name?
Kyle Brandon. Yes. I've been doing real estate for about 10 years now. Met Kathy through mutual friend Stephanie, who's no longer with us.
Are you an agent?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And who are you with?
EXP.
Okay. And you have, he's purchased his first property in Mansfield.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm Tammy. This is my husband, David. Mm-hmm. We got started about 3 years ago. We have four properties, nine rental doors right now, and you have closed one of our loans.
Yes.
Actually, I think two of them.
Mm-hmm. So. Are you just doing it around here, or are you guys in different areas? You just
mostly Central Ohio.
Central.
But she's looking.
Yeah.
She's looking.
Most of ours are in Lancaster.
Lancaster. And Winchester. So getting into Africa, right?
Yeah, not opposed to that.
Hi, my name's Elise. I am a buy and hold investor. I have two doors, and I'm currently house hacking a duplex in Reynoldsburg.
I'm Jason. I have one rental. This is my first
meeting. That's exciting.
First meeting. Welcome.
Thank you.
My name is Doug. I'm up in Dublin. I have a couple houses up there that I'm rehabbing another one out of state.
Out of state?
Out of state.
What state?
Pennsylvania.
Where?
Up in the wilds.
Oh, that's exciting.
He was telling us all about it.
Yeah,
when we first got here tonight. Yeah.
I'm David. I married her.
I'm Mark. I'm Kathy's partner, and my official title is I'm driving Miss Kathy.
Anyway, we have 26 doors currently. Mm-hmm. We were up to 30, and we went down to 24. We bought a couple more. We're back up to 26. And I want to say we're done, but you know what? When a deal comes along, we got to,
I don't feel like
if somebody's going to give away a house, we have to do our part.
But it's nice to meet everybody. If anybody wants a drink, put it on my tab.
He wants another one now.
Yours is
ginger.
Did you want one?
No.
Okay.
Do you
have
white
balm?
I do.
What flavor?
Sure. Do you want another drink?
Yes, please.
Corona?
No.
So my name is Jennifer McIntyre, and I've been in Twitter for 6.5 years, and I got into it kind of accidentally. My sister bought a title company in retirement, totally rando bizarre, in Canton, Ohio. And she had called me and said, hey, I have this title company and we don't really have a foothold in Columbus and I would like you to maybe work on it. At the time, my degree is actually in journalism, and so that's why I'm in sales. Because there's no journalism anymore. Everyone just says whatever they want to say and then say, oops, that's wrong or right. But at the time, I was the sales manager for Closet by Design, you know, those like closet systems. And I said to my sister, well, I don't know anything about title and I'm in sales. Like, math is not my strong suit. And she was like, oh, you don't need to know anything about that. This is how she literally said it. All you do is you take realtors and lenders out to drink and they send you deals. In Canton, it might be that way because there's like, I don't even know, but maybe 4 or 5 title companies, where in Columbus, including all of the different lawyers who do it, you're talking 70, 80 different title companies. So for whatever reason, dumb or whatever, I decided, I was like, well, that sounds like fun. Go out and drink and feed people and you get business. And so very naively, but in a way I look back and I'm kind of glad from the entrepreneur perspective, because I didn't do it like any other title person did, because I didn't have anyone to tell me how to do it. And I look back now, I don't know how I convinced any realtor to use a title company in Canton, Ohio, even though there's all these here. I had no office. I had no place to sign anything. I didn't know anything about the words of title. So I, and as a realtor, don't take this the wrong way, but I went into LinkedIn, and realtors were LinkedIn to anyone breathing because they may or may not buy a home. So I knew one realtor, linked into that realtor, and then I found that, and I would wait a couple days and then I'd send them a message and say, hey, I'm new in the business and I'm just want to know what's important to you from a title company. Would you like to go to lunch? And you know, I'd send out all these messages and half the people would ignore me and the other half would say they use whoever. And then if I got in front of people, I just started, because I didn't know anything, I just asked them what was important to them. And in the first month, I had like 30-some realtors that I was working with, and my sister was like, what are you doing?
And we're going out drinking.
Well, you know what it was, Pappy? It was like, it's what I, so like, I see all these title people like sponsoring stuff and going to events and these realtor associations, but when I would get a contract, I realized that the other lender and realtor that are in this don't want to be in it. They didn't pick me. I don't even know who I am. So I realized you have 2 warm leads right there. So if I could wow them and convert 25% of those, and then it just grew and grew and grew. And so, like I said, I didn't know who Sandy Rains was versus somebody who just walked in. So I'm sending this message to like Sandy Rains, and they're like, yeah, okay, lady, who are you? But in a way, I've always treated people the same. Like, whether you have a $2,000 deal or a $2 million deal, I just wanted to find out how I could help you grow your business, how we could work together, and it just sort of grew. So anyway, I worked for my sister for a while, but then over time, I kind of missed the fact that I wasn't with a Columbus title company because I kind of do things differently. And I did go back to my sister and said, hey, if you're really going to be big here, you're going to have to do what they do. And that includes marketing and all the things that realtors want. So I got different companies asking me to work for them. And my prior company, Bridge, the owner of Bridge wrote me a very strange email that just said, hi, I heard you're the best in the business. What would it take for you to leave your family? Thanksgiving might be awkward. Sean Stevens. So I went and I told my husband, and he said, you know, you should always know your worth, and it doesn't hurt to go out. And so I met him, and I offered him a ridiculous offer, and he was like, done. Don't break RESPA, don't get arrested, and don't ruin my name. So I joined Bridge Title that had 3 employees and a little thing, and in 5.5 years we grew up to 17 employees and a decent-sized large title company. And I had always thought about, you know, as an entrepreneur, starting your own title company, and title is not sexy. Everyone knows we're the redheaded stuff. We make the least amount of money with the biggest risk. And so I think sometimes things just sort of happen for a reason. And the off-market world kind of became my niche over COVID. And I had a lot of regular realtors who were also investors. And their investors would not use me. They were only using this particular title company because they thought they were investor-friendly. And so I sort of learned what that was. And over time, I sort of really got into that section of it. So some players in the hard money world and some other people in that investor world had approached me and said, would you ever thought about starting your own title company? And I said, only if you had somebody that is the law side and the legal side, and it could be my company and my marketing and things I wanted to do. And the world sort of aligned, and that's what happened. And some major players in Columbus pumped down a lot of money based on this. And my goal was to take all of the things that I think are important for a title company, especially one. And so, like, when you look, and I was going to pass out my stuff here to me, I can send these around. But one of the things that's really important to me is to be innovative, right? So I find that a lot of times you have title companies that sort of are, title's boring, right? And they've been doing it the same way forever. And so I wanted to find ways to be a little bit innovative, thinking outside of the box, to take on some of, and you'll note here, one of the things I talk about is, you know, we specialize in, you know, 1031 exchanges and residential and refis and investor, and novations are a huge part of my business now. I would say almost all of my investors have moved to novations. And so I wanted that. I also wanted it to be, as most of you guys probably know, in title, the title insurance and the conveyance tax is the same no matter where you go. That's regulated by the state of Ohio. So the rest of those fees that you have, the title company can charge whatever they want to charge. And it was important to me that we weren't out just padding that. You know, it costs us $75 to do the deed. That's exactly what I charge you. What it costs us to do the search, that's what we charge. Title companies are essentially insurance companies, so we make our money from insurance. And so it was important to me to have fees that were reasonable, technology. You know, I spent a lot of money on some of, we use a system called Qualia. Have any of you guys ever had to work with that yet with the title company? You probably have. You probably will start to see it with a lot of transparency, and you can go online and see what's going on, and a ton more than that, a lot of security. But the thing that I think really makes me different is that even though I'm a founder and vice president of this company, I'm still 100% commission. And I don't know any title person that does that. Most title people are paid a salary and a small commission. Because I feel, and one of the reasons why I picked this logo, which is the 3 leaves, because to me it's, you have the lender, the realtor, the title, or the investor, the hard money, whoever you want to do it. And just as a side note, when I originally did this logo, after my husband noticed, because the leaves were faced a different way, he said, that looks like a thong or a woman's reproductive uterus. And so if you actually turn it this way, it kind of does. So I switched the leaves. I shifted them. But to me, I wanted it to be a collaborative effort. Because literally, I don't get paid until you get paid, the lender gets paid. And I feel like that really has set me apart, because that's one way that I really want to get this to the closing table. And to me, it was, and the reason why I picked the new leaf, because I was turning over a new leaf. I feel like people are turning over a new leaf when they buy properties. You know, the whole, these green colors that I picked, actually, if they look familiar to you, that's because they are. This is Starbucks. This is Range Rover. Like, I wanted to have, this is the marketing part of my life. But I do care about green and sustainability. But I really wanted it to be a collaborative effort that we can grow leaf business together. And so that's kind of like a little backstory to my company. And we started July 5th. I'd have to go look, but I think we just took our 300 and some quarter.
Wow.
And we opened the floodgates very slowly, because I wanted to make sure that we had all our ducks in a row. And I'm super excited just to be here. And obviously, I know you guys and everybody who's, you know, here. So I'm just super excited. So I was glad she invited me tonight. I just kind of wanted to talk to you guys a little bit, because title's so boring, about questions that you might have, things that you would like to know, things that people do know, you don't know necessarily. Also, some of these different creative ways to find properties. About my particular stuff, because 60 to 70% of my business is investment, I get hundreds and hundreds of properties across my desk every day. Hundreds. I work primarily with wholesalers, investors, hedge fund companies. So if I can get to know you guys too, what you're looking for, I can send you different properties too. So I like to offer a lot more than just title.
Right, right. I get it. So my big question, and because we've got some new investors in the room, go through and explain a little bit about what you specialize in, the 1031s, and
what
the whole
novation,
the wholesale and the novation. Yeah.
Okay. So 1031s are when, I think some of you guys know, that's when you're being it. We work with a 1031 exchange company, so to help you with your taxes. So when you're buying and selling property, so that you're able to have some tax shelter.
So if we're going to sell something, we need to contact you first.
Yes. And then I can connect you with
okay.
a 1031 exchange. Any of you guys work with a 1031 exchange? So you don't have to pay the capital gain. So you have a certain amount of time to reinvest. You have to do that before your property closes. You can't do it after the fact. And so we work in conjunction with, and we actually do a CE on 1031. That's actually, this is one of my biggest classes was on that. I was surprised, because again, I'm like, that's kind of boring. But title and taxes, that's a Saturday night of excitement. We like to be a one-stop shop, so that we can give you more than just title. Wholesale deals, do any of you just buy them? Do any of you wholesale? Or do you just buy? Do you buy from wholesalers?
We have purchased one from a wholesaler.
Yeah, we have. Okay. Which is an interesting real estate wholesale-like thing. And I think there's a place for both, in because obviously if you have a house that is being foreclosed on or going to sheriff sale on Friday, and there's 5 prostitutes in it, that's not exactly the place you're going to go have an open house, right? So, or these people are trying to get out very quickly and somebody's buying it. A novation is probably the reason why you guys haven't heard of it, is because very few people do it. And so that's one of the things that I've learned in my life, is that the riches are in the niches. So a novation is something they've been doing on the West Coast for quite some time. And a novation is a marriage between wholesaling and regular real estate. And this is where I think these two worlds could come together with transparency to help the shortage. So basically, in a traditional wholesale deal, that's the we buy houses for cash guys, right? Where they go out and they say, hey, Kathy, I'll buy your house for $100,000. You're not going to pay any fees. You're not going to do anything, blah, blah, blah. And you're guaranteed your $100,000. And then they're assigning the contract, because they're not an agent. So they go and they have to find their pool of buyers. And they find someone who says, you know, maybe you're like, oh, there's still meat on the bone. I'll buy that for $110. But you can't use a real lender. You have to use a hard money lender when you're doing a wholesale deal. So that limits that. You can't go on the MLS because they're not an agent. So you'll sell the contract to you, and then you'll close on the property for $110, and the wholesaler makes the difference between, they'll pay all the fees and makes that difference. Well, a novation is when a wholesaler locks up a deal, usually a little bit more than they could normally give, and they get what's called a limited power of attorney novation. So they talk to you and say, Kathy, you said you wanted $100 for this house, and I can only give you $80 because as a true wholesale, because he's got a limited pool. I can give you $100,000, but in order to do that, I need to have a little bit more control over this transaction. So I'll still pay for all the fees and all the title work. I'll control anything that comes back, you know, any request to remedy, anything needs to be fixed in the house. But you'll sign a limited power of attorney that now says, gives the wholesaler, because you can't be an agent, they become the seller. Once they're the seller, they can put it on the MLS. So then they sign a listing agreement with you, because as a real estate agent, we all know what power of attorneys are. Grandma does it for the, which are, and I've taken this all the way to the board. This one thing I'm all about, making sure you're following the law, the ethics. And now the seller knows that's what's happening, because sometimes on wholesale deals, right, they don't know that's what's happening. So now everything's transparent. It says very clearly in this, and I prepare the power of attorney, and my notary goes out to sign so that I can make sure when I go out there, you know that you are mentally, physically understand what's happening, right? You're not just sliding a paper because it's notarized. My notary is required to say they understand. So in this power of attorney, it says that now, say you're the seller and I'm the person now, that I can market it on the MLS. I get to sign the documents, including the request for remedy. I get to make all the decisions. I can decide we take this deal, we don't take this deal.
Because you're functioning as the
seller. I am officially the seller. Now I put that onto the, I get with you. We're just like you would sign a regular listing agreement. You go put that on the MLS. Most of the times, this other transaction over here, you wouldn't even necessarily be aware of, or the buyer's agent. Now, the buyer's agent may go to the county site and say, wait a minute, how come Jennifer's LLC signed when you're the seller? Well, it's a recorded power of attorney. Mm-hmm. They understand that. So let's say we do it for $100. They put it on the market. It sells for $130 or $140. On the HUD, it'll say purchase price $130 minus the realtor fees, both the seller, because he had to get a realtor, and the buyer, minus the title, minus any mortgages or liens that the seller had. And there'll be a line item that says novation fee to Kathy for $100,000, because that's what we said we'd pay you. And that difference goes to the wholesaler who's the seller. Why I like these arrangements is because these are usually properties that are like grandma died and it's, you know, it's got good bones, it's in Whitehall, but you know, it's got doilies and it just needs to be cleaned out or needs some paint.
What happens if I was the power of attorney to begin with because grandma died?
Well, then you would just put it on. So the question that everyone's asking is, why wouldn't you just get with an agent and put it on the market? Right? Isn't that the question you're probably thinking? Right?
Right.
Why would you just go get him? Well, the reason why a lot of these sellers would choose to do that is because they're guaranteed that $100,000. So this seller messes up, this wholesaler. So I have realtors who are novation realtors. You need to have a realtor who's very good at pricing properties, because if they mess up and they think, oh, they're going to get $130, and then it goes to market for $110, now we've got a big mess because the numbers are going to be upside down. So a lot of these sellers are just like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to pay a realtor. I don't want to think about repairs. I don't want to have the FHA come in and say, fix this and do that. And there's multiple levels of novations. You have some that people just straight up do a novation. They don't do anything to the house other than maybe just clean it up. You know, like a traditional realtor might just come in and clean up. Then you have all the way up to levels where people will come in and put $20,000-$30,000 in if there's enough spread, and really come in and fix the house. You know, like change it up. But the seller feels confident because they're like, I wanted $100,000 for my house. I'm guaranteed. I don't have. I'm getting more money than I would if I sold it to an equity, you know, a cash.
Right.
There's more equity there, and it's just a way that sometimes, you know, I always give the analogy of when you can make your own coffee, right? Sometimes people, and you're paying more. And sometimes, even after you took the realtor fees and out, even if they would have sold it traditionally, it's not that, you know, because some people are like, well, they're losing $30,000 in equity, but they're not really, because when you're taking the realtor fees and everything else,
right?
For them, it's a convenience factor. I'll see you in 60 days when I get paid. I don't have to deal with anything, do anything. So I'm excited about that, one, because not a lot of people, now you record it and how they will, but not a lot of people in title know how to do these. And I also think it's going to help bring more property to the market that you wouldn't be able to find, or your traditional buyer wouldn't be fine. And the biggest thing is, because it's on the MLS traditionally, you can use a regular lender, which opens up the buying pool much larger than a cash only deal, because it's just a traditional deal.
And there's more transparency.
100% transparency. So no one can come back and say, oh, I didn't know you were going to sell my house. I thought you were buying my house, because they're literally saying, I'm allowing you.
There's a big legal battle going on in California right now. Katy Perry, the person she bought her house from, now he's saying, I wasn't in sound of mind, and they're going to pass a whole new law and give sellers 3 days to go back on the contract. Like, this is why you need transparency, because if ever any doubt presented, things can be, you know, changed or rolled back or cause a lot of problems.
Well, and that's why you have that second level with the notary, because they're required to say, I am here of sound mind. And that's great that you brought that up, because what's interesting is if you guys all go home tonight, and you have nothing else to do, and you're sitting on the toilet and decide to type in novation, or in the bathroom, wherever you are, you'll see that in the West Coast, they teach it differently. They teach it that you just get your traditional wholesale agreement and you slide in that little sentence in there. And there's no recorded POA, and the wholesaler will sign the listing agreement, but the seller will still sign all the documents. And then the wholesaler will cloud title. Do you guys know what clouding title is?
No.
So a wholesaler will go, clouding title is when somebody's contract to purchase a house. The wholesaler has a contract or a person. You can go and do an affidavit and record it saying, I have a vested interest in this, so that seller can't go to the next wholesaler with the big. So they teach it over on the West Coast that you cloud title so that the wholesaler can get paid when the seller is like, well, wait a minute, I lost my. And so Ohio actually passed a law in July that said you cannot have an attorney in fact statement jammed into a thing and a clouding of title. So the way I do novations and the power of attorney, the way I do it, is the legal way. That is up board for everybody, and for the realtor. Are you a realtor, by chance? So just so you know, and it also makes it better too, because some brokerages are like, well, wait a minute, why did she sign a listing agreement and this person signed the docs? Now everything all makes sense and it's nice and tidy. I'm kind of excited about novations, because I feel like sometimes, and don't get me wrong, there's terrible wholesalers. And there's bad realtor. I mean, there's bad every industry.
Bad everything.
So I feel like this is a way to sort of bring those two worlds together, bring things transparent, bring more properties to the market, more opportunities for you guys to buy properties, and it just sort of kind of levels the playing field and is a win-win for everybody.
Interesting.
So you're going to start to hear about the word, and it's going to be
now
funny.
That you said it, I'm going to hear novation.
You're not going to be able to forget. Like, you're going to be out. Somebody's going to say novation. You're going to be like, oh,
really?
So, interesting side note of title. So sorry, that was sort of a long-winded.
No, that was perfect, because we're in the business all the time, and sometimes things are happening around us, and we get involved where we're working on a project, and we don't get out there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're not networking as much, and so we don't hear some of these terms, and so it does make. It just makes for a better investor, I think.
It is. And novation has actually been around longer than, and it's one of the oldest ways. It's Latin for exchange of contract. It's been novating. You can do this in many other forms than just real estate. Huh. That's where it comes from. So it's been around for a very long time. So that's what to novate. You'll hear somebody say, maybe I should novate it. That's what they're talking about. So you're exchanging a contract for another.
So talk to us a little bit, and I hope I don't throw you a curveball, but talk to us a little bit about
without a drink too.
Yeah, wow. About probate.
What happens for some folks that may not know, what happens with probate and how does that affect if they have some, you know, like grandma's property they have to sell?
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because this happened, I feel like, and we didn't plan this, I swear. It wasn't one of those things like, you know, those shows are like, oh, glad you brought that up. Like, clearly you guys planned this. It's so funny because I just had an agent call me today. A lot of people think that when you have, and I'm not going to give tons of legal advice because there's like this fine line, but a lot of people think that when you have a will that, you know, you're married and you have a will and one of you dies that you get the property. It depends on the type of deed you had. And so people just don't, so if any piece of advice you take today, if any of you are married, you need to go back and look at your deed and make sure it has survivorship language in it. And make sure that it, so that it literally has survivorship language or transfer on death. Because people are like, well, I have a will. So what I get all the time is, we get the deal over, and as soon as I go to the auditor site and it says, you know, Bob Smith, but Jan Smith signed it. And then when I call her, she was like, oh, that was my father. You know, it's his house and now it's mine. And I'm like, was it probated? And they're like, no, I don't have to. I have a will. And so that, I think a lot of people don't know that. They just think because you have a will. So it's very important. It's the type of deed you have. So if you're going to buy or sell houses or do things, it's important to tell the title. Because normally we just do a general warranty deed. I mean, it's not our job to tell you, like, do you want a trust? Do you want survivorship language? So it's just important to make sure that you have that language in there. At our particular company, we have probate attorneys that we work on staff. So if you ever have a property that you're interested in buying and the seller doesn't necessarily have the money to probate it, or we're in contract and then I have to call you and say, oh, guess what, that property you're buying, you can't buy because it's going to have probate, we can do all the probate for them and then take that from the seller's proceeds.
What kind of a turnaround time?
Well, I have good people. So it depends on a couple things. I've got connections and people, so usually we can do that in 4 to 6 weeks. However, it just depends on how involved it is. If you've got 10 children and they're all married because it's a dower state, we have to track them down, and one of them, you know, has been missing since 88, you know, and finding them, that's the issue. So if it's a clean, easy, those kind of things, and we're not probating the entire, like, their entire estate, the house can go pretty quickly. We can do this pretty quickly.
But still, 4 to 6 weeks, it could toss out another whole deal if they are
Correct.
Planning on closing.
And it depends on the county. The more rural the county, the longer it's going to take. You know,
wow.
Like Franklin, Delaware County. So, and a lot of times, too, kind of on this thing is when we're buying properties, people from title, there's a couple misconceptions. One, people think we're searching the property. We're searching the property and the person. Because people can have multiple properties with multiple loans. So I get this all the time. People get so frustrated, so frustrated. So if you're buying a property, especially with somebody with a common name, like Joe Smith or John Williams, it's going to come back with pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of liens. So we have to then get an off form with the Social Security, send it down to the Attorney General, and they have to go through each one of those and said that is not your person. And what's interesting is, now, if the lien is Michael L. Smith and your client is Michael R. Smith, we can rule it out by middle name. We cannot do that with women because the law says women have sometimes have to take their maiden name as their middle name.
Mm-hmm.
Stinks. I know. Someone, look at your face. She's like, girl, I'm mad. Me too. But so I always try to tell people that, especially for you as an agent, if your seller is John Smith, you can expect, even if they have never missed a payment in their life, it's going to come back. And that takes time because all of that has to go to the Attorney General. That's the only way, because when liens are filed, they redact the Social Security number for privacy. So we have to get their Social Security number. We have to send it to the Attorney General. And that, right now they're working for 7 to 21 days. If it's a federal tax lien, you're looking 30 to 45 days.
And there goes that other deal that you had hanging in there.
Which also leads me to dower rates. And a lot of these properties, especially if you're going to buy them off market, or you need to, again, people think title's just searching for liens. We look back 40 to 60 years and we look at every single deed transfer that's ever happened. Quitclaim deeds, most people go online, get a quitclaim deed form,
and they sign it and they send it to the county, and the county is not, it's not their job to review it. And Ohio's a dower state, so every deed must have marital status. So I will tell you a really sad story. We have, and I will say this till the day I die, unless I tattoo it up. Do not ever buy a property with a quitclaim deed without at least running a title search. Because once that property is yours, all of that is becomes yours. Anything that's ever wrong.
All those problems.
All those problems. And I had, and I've said this, and I have a smart investor who was like, I know this guy, it was a great deal. We wanted to save on title insurance and money, and he signed it over, and then he flipped it. So he bought it for like 40, put 100 in it, sold it for 360, came back to me. Four deeds back in 1976, there's no marital status. So technically, I had to go try to find this person from back then, and if they were married, which they were, that person still has legal rights to that property today, and the only way to get her to sign off is she wanted money. So if you learn anything from me today, never buy a property quitclaim without at least running a title search.
So there's only two kinds of people in this room. There are those that have used Jennifer, and there are those who are going to use Jennifer.
I'm just like, don't ever do that, and it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. And we cover so much.
Just save, like, what, $1,500?
Even if you just ran a title search. Mm-hmm. At least if you ran a title search, you could see, you know, that there's issues. But the dower issue is very big. And so a lot of people, everybody knows what dower is, right? So in Ohio, it doesn't matter unless your property's in an LLC. So LLC is the way to go. Like, if properties are in LLCs. But in Ohio, it doesn't matter when you acquired the property or who's in title. So if you got property before you got married and then you go to sell it, if you're married in Ohio, both people have to sign off on the property. And so you get cases where people have been married for 20 years and haven't talked to their spouse, and you cannot sell that property without that being done. So when there's quitclaim chains, now, if that particular deal that I had just talked about had a quitclaim and then it went to, was insured at one point, then the title company here would have been on the hook for that. But and you can look at any deed. So if you go to the recorder's office and look at the chain, you can look at the chain of title when you're going to buy a property and look. You can see. Was there a quitclaim? Was the marital status listed? So the only thing that kills dower is death and divorce.
Is everyone a good time to do a quit?
So they're usually meant to be a family with people you trust, right? Like when somebody's, perfect example is on a refi and somebody's going through, maybe don't trust when you're going through a divorce, but like on a refi and you're going through a divorce and you're trying to get somebody off of title and off of a mortgage, or maybe to your child, those are really what those are for. They're not meant to be like, hey, my buddy's got a good deal and we want to save money and just write it to ourselves.
Really meant for transfer.
Amongst people you really, really, really know. And even then, especially if it's been in your family for a while, you would still at least want to run a title search, because we're searching back far into deeds that people might not have, your family might not even have looked at, right? So, you know, your family could have owned this house for 20 years and you don't even know that in, you know, 25 years ago there was a deed chain issue. Plus you have mineral rights and things like that that people can come back on.
And then is there any advantages to doing the quit claim over just doing a standard warranty deed?
Really, and it's not warranted either. So you have a warranty deed covers the entire time. A limited warranty is the time that the person owned it. So you can do a limited warranty saying that I'm only going to warrant it from this time. You have the standard warranty, and then you have quit claim. So they're really meant for those kind of things. Getting somebody in and off a title quickly that is usually related or some... It's not meant from Joe Stranger. It's our biggest issue. It's our biggest issue with off-market properties, because usually they tend to have been in families and they just pass them down.
Well, and it's fast and it's easy. And so, yeah. And folks figure, hey, if I can skate past it, it'll be somebody else's problem.
And all of it is yours. So when we search, we're searching the seller, we're searching the property. We actually have to search the buyer. The only thing that sticks for buyer is child support and federal tax liens. Because you have, my girl's shaking her head. You have to do that because the lenders care. Because the moment that person takes title, that federal tax, you know, if you're a buyer and you have a federal tax lien, the moment you buy that property, it's going to attach to that house. And child support should not even need to be said. Pay, you know, you got to go pay your people. Mm-hmm. So we do look for the... A lot of people don't know that. They think, yeah, so those are the two things that we're looking for. And a lot of times people have LLCs or they have title issues themselves. They know they have liens and they try to quit claim it. Quit claims do work when you're trying to move things through your LLC. Like if you want to move from one LLC to another, that's a good purpose of it. But you can't, oh, this property's in my name and I have liens, so I'm going to quickly quit claim. Well, that follows. Like it doesn't, you can't just like put it in the corner over there.
It doesn't come.
But that's why people use quit claims for like moving properties into LLCs or bundling into one. That would be a good example of why you would do that. Because they're your properties.
Okay. But even if you're doing the quit claim over, just doing a standard warranty deed?
Well, once you do a quit claim too, it does remove your any prior title insurance policy. You know, like right. they don't carry over.
So which there's made not it seem a whole like, lot. So when we did move our properties into the LLC, we did the standard warranty deed.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's saying, we'll just do a quit claim, but...
It keeps the...
Yeah, so that's what we heard. We chose not to, but everybody's doing quick claims. So I was just wondering, there must be some advantage somewhere that drove them to it.
Yep. And they think... Wow. So I'm just saying, I would never, ever, ever buy a property up this way without ever having a title search.
Yeah.
And you still want it warranted. Anyway.
Right. We do every property. It doesn't matter...
Well, and I always say title insurance is like opposite of health insurance. Health insurance is problems in the future. Title insurance covers problems from the past.
Yep.
It's the best way to kind of explain it.
I love that. So share with the group how you get all of these leads that come through your office and how. What do you do with those? Where do they come from? And then what do you...
All coming across your desk.
So part of my original philosophy when I'm saying I'd like to try to get more than just title people's businesses. So I have people selling properties and then I have people who want to buy properties. And so I'm sort of like the matchmaker in between. Like, so when these properties come and they don't have a buyer, and a lot of buyers don't know where to find properties or are newer or don't have connections, and then I have wholesale deals or off-market deals where they don't have buyers, and then I sort of connect the two together. So that's really where they're coming, because the seller's coming to me to do the title work.
Okay.
Whether they have a buyer or not, right? So either it's a wholesale deal or a FSBO or something, and they're looking for a buyer. And so that's, and then I have hedge fund companies and investors and people, you know, like you guys who are looking for properties, and so I just have tons of them. Plus, I cover the whole state of Ohio. I don't just do Columbus. So I have deals in all 88.
Well, and around here, it's more commonplace that the seller picks the title company.
Yes, and it's very odd. Almost everywhere else except for here.
Right, in Mansfield, where I'm also licensed,
I do a ton
in Mansfield.
The buyer
picks the title company.
And Cleveland, they sort of split it. Cincinnati, sometimes the lender does. I don't know what happened in Columbus that somehow they all got together and band together, because frankly... I shouldn't even say this on camera. Frankly, I think the buyer should be choosing the title company. They're the ones getting the insurance. I think it's their policy. But something happened along the way where the sellers paid for it. Now, mm-hmm. remember, when the buyers are picking it, they're paying for it. They're
right,
paying for
right.
the policy, mm-hmm. which is the largest cost outside of. So I always think, too, if you're trying to buy a property from somebody and you're in a bidding war, sometimes you could get an advantage by, instead of offering the seller more money for the house, because now they're going to have to, pay the realtor more, they're going to have to pay more title insurance, you offer to pay the title insurance and pay the conveyance tax. So you're still going to save you $3,000 or $4,000 versus putting $3,000 or $4,000 on top. Right? So mm-hmm. if I offered you $103,000, now you're paying insurance on $103,000 and you're paying conveyance tax on $103,000, you're paying a little bit more to the realtor versus saying, I'll pay those fees and the purchase price still stays $100,000, and it actually, you're giving them $3,000 plus that savings that they're getting. Just a little tidbit.
A little marketing.
A little extra way to sort of be different than someone else when you're trying to buy the property. Because that's the largest cost for... That's the largest.
No, I mean, I've seen it before too, where they've even worded it. You know, the list price, let's say, is $150, and it goes into a bid war, goes up to $175. They'll even word it, well, the commission is still based off of.
And I'm not trying to take your commission away.
I mean, it's not a huge difference. You know,
it's not for you.
It's, you know, $80. Bucks,
but
right.
with the conveyance and the tax and this, so right, they might save them $300. So you're actually giving them $3,300 versus $3,000. It's just a different kind of way to try to think outside the box when you're trying to.
How do you manage that though? I mean, you've got all of these deals. How do you logistically? How do you manage that? Are they on a spreadsheet?
Oh, mean like what properties for who? Yeah. I kind of learn my people. Like I know, like I have some hedge fund people that could care less where it's at. You know, they just
okay.
Know and usually what I end up doing is I have I'm not the negotiator. I'm licensed by the Ohio Department of Insurance, so I can't take a kickback. There's no like you can't pay me like, hey Jen, let me. Could we go on that cocktail sometime? Yeah, whatever. You know, we can. But you know, I'm not taking a kickback. So basically, what I end up doing is, if I know you like Mansfield, or your investor likes Mansfield, or you like this area, then whenever I get a Mansfield property, I usually will have them. I'll ask them, hey, send me your ARV comps, pictures, anything you have to support the price that you want in an email, and I'll shoot that email out to you.
Okay.
And if you're interested, then I'll say, okay, Kathy, meet Bob. You two go, and if you don't get that property, then at least maybe you could be on his list, and then you could. So I just sort of broker that, like, meeting. I don't ever pimp out anybody's information. Like, I don't just say, hey, Kathy. You know, so I will.
No, that's the other podcast.
Exactly. Right, exactly. That's the podcast. So basically, that's what I do. I know that this is an area you're looking for, but I don't like to make that decision either. So even if you said to me, hey, Jen, I want to be in Mansfield. I want light cosmetic only, this or this. I don't want to be the deciding factor. I'll send you everything I get in Mansfield and let you decide. Because maybe there's one that you're just like, you know what?
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to be that decider.
Yeah. Yeah. People do that all the time. They say they want something, and then they go and buy the
exact opposite.
And I'm like...
Exactly.
Sometimes the numbers just work, you know?
Or it's a feeling, you know, they like that house or that neighborhood. Or...
Yeah. So that's I just sort of learn my peeps and then kind of know where you're looking and what you're doing. And it's a lot.
With the hedge institutional investors, are you seeing any change in... So I know they were really coming in and
they've
getting...
They've slowed down dramatically. A lot of numbers because they're... you know, I worked with a large hedge fund company that was buying 2,000 properties a year in Ohio. And their biggest issue wasn't so much the properties. They couldn't get anyone to fix them.
Right.
I mean, literally, people were calling me. They had properties in Cleveland. And people were calling my title company and saying, hey, we're trying to find these people. This had... Because the doors are kicked in and it looks like it's vacant and we'd like to buy it. They've already bought it. They just didn't even have enough workers to flip them.
We've had people in this group have that experience personally. Contractors have booked up 6 months, 9 months, 12 months.
So they've bought all these properties and they have no way to flip them and fix them. So that's where sort of novating started to come in. Because they're like, well, maybe I won't necessarily fix them all up. I'm just going to clean them up. Like sometimes they're just, you know.
Just a trash.
Junk.
They
trash it out, maybe paint it or whatever, and then just put it on the MLS and then go in.
Yeah.
So that's, yes, I've seen a huge stop in that.
Okay.
Huge.
And that was my feeling, but I was...
They said, too, they're kind of tighter with borrow money as cheap as they were, because obviously if our rates are going up, then hard money rates are even up, right? So they're just like, we're kind of sitting or dumping properties.
Okay. Any questions from the group?
Thank you for coming. Yes, we're glad you're here. So any questions for Jennifer? Anybody got any deals that they're working on currently?
So with hard money lenders, so we're actually in the process of forming it'll be a private money lending business with the hopes of growing into a hard money lending business. We've only been in the property investing business for 3 years now. I'm still trying to wrap my head around, why do I care who the title company is?
That's a great question.
After. I was like, are you going to ask? No, just kidding. For multiple reasons. I'll tell you a perfect reason, and I'm not going to put down any particular title company because I won't do that, but there are some investor-friendly title companies in Columbus, and when rates are low and things are cheaper, everybody knows that in the world, you get what you pay for. I cannot tell you how many deals I have gotten from that were at an investor-friendly title company that have come over to me and they missed the liens. I cannot tell you how many times that's happened. They straight up missed it.
Well, then they're on the hook for it, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's missing a lien is one thing. Missing a title chain issue is a whole other deal to try to fix. Like, you can only have, you're only compensated to the amount of your title insurance policy. So if you missed a D chain issue and somebody owns a property and you now, so the only way to fix that, you guys ever heard of a thing called quiet title? So let's say you two are married. Are you guys married? So let's say you guys were married and you own property and you guys got... She took off and you had no idea where she was and you could not find her and you're still legally married and it's been years and years and years and you can't sell your house in Ohio because you can't find her because you can't sell your house in Ohio because you can't... Right. So they do, and this is very, very old school, but they do this thing called quiet title where you have to put an ad in the paper. And we have to try to look for you for 30 days. And then when we say, oh, we can't find you, then you have to go to the court. And then the judge has to get involved and they vacate. It takes a process to be able to vacate, to finally say, hey, he has the right to sell the property without it. Those are the kind of things you have to do with that. The other reason why I think a title company is important to you is... people have different underwriters. So a title company has different...
And not all underwriters are...
And because you're not in this necessary field, you wouldn't even know which underwriter is different than another underwriter. But it's probably a question you've never asked, right? And there's underwriter... Because that's who's backing. So one of the things... So you guys all know what a commitment is. So you know when you buy a property... Commitment. It says all the things that they found on the title that they have to clear. So usually you get a title search back, and then the company has to type up a commitment. In my company, I spend a little bit more to have my underwriter, my actual underwriter, does the search and types the commitment. So it's already indemnified. They're on the hook. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's on them right from the jump. So it eliminates that second person.
They're more motivated to do their job correctly.
Correct. Exactly. And you don't have to have a separate person who's now reading the search and saying, this is what should be on it. I have my underwriter, so it's already indemnified from the beginning. Now, it makes my searches take about a day longer to come back, but it comes back from the underwriter.
And it's done at that point.
And it's done.
Yeah.
So you know how sometimes you'll get the search back and you guys are like, where are the commitment? So that's another thing that I do differently in mine. Also, I think the other parts of title company that has nothing to do with, like, title as far as safety is, I close 24/7. I don't charge for notaries. You can literally... We're good.
I want to get the chocolate cake and the carrot cake to go.
Does anybody else want anything? I didn't buy anybody anything.
Can I put that on yours?
You can put this cake.
No,
I don't care.
You bought me a beer or two.
He's like, in that case,
chocolate.
Well.
To go or here?
To go.
So I don't charge, so that's one thing. So we close anywhere, anytime. I've closed in prisons. I've closed on backs of people's cars, so... I think you want a title company that also understands what you're trying to do and your goals and to help you grow your business and really be an affiliate and a partner in what you're trying to do. I think it's important to have a title company that really takes RESPA laws seriously. Do you know what RESPA laws are? So RESPA are the laws, since I'm licensed. RESPA laws are... I can't entice you, well, other than cake, I can't entice you to do business with me by paying and buying things. You know, you want a title company that focuses on title, not necessarily like, let me take you to all these games and marketing and give you free stuff. It's like, you want somebody, these are very important legal things. And so just knowing, and then also having somebody that you can, like my friends always say, like they're like, especially when I'm in other areas like Mansfield and stuff, and people are like, why would we use the Columbus people? And my people are like, you can call my girl anytime, she's going to answer your question, right? Like, you want somebody... Has anybody ever worked with a title company where they just don't respond to you?
It's just like a team, and you have a point of contact.
Or they're like, it's past 5 o'clock, we don't do that. You know, so you want somebody... Like, this is important. This is a big deal for you to buy it. It's a big deal for the seller. It's just very emotionally important to people. And have somebody who's invested in you.
So we're like really new to all of this, and we're basically trying to get him from the wholesale aspect. He's trying to get it because, guys, we have no clue what we're doing. So I'm so happy we met you. One of the main things we've been instructed to do is create a really good relationship with the title company. So I'm so happy. I had no clue this is even.
Well, we'll definitely go have lunch and figure out your plan for sure. Because you do want somebody, because a lot of title companies will say they know how to do it and they don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, definitely all yours. So I would love.
We're here.
Me too.
Yeah, this is going to be a great match. Yes. This is the gal. I'm telling you.
I don't know. Is there any other, like, title-y questions or other? I know, it's not that exciting. Title's not that exciting. So it's really important when you bought a property and you go to sell it, if you have your title policy, so when you go to sell 10 years or less, you can get a reissue rate. Now, hopefully you're coming to me when you sell it, because I'll ask, but it's not necessarily the title company's job to ask you if you have that, because you get a discount on your next policy. So if you're going to, or if you're refiing, or if you're doing anything, you want, if you've had that policy in place for 10 years, now you have to be able to find it. If you can't find it, you got to find your HUD. If you can't find your HUD, I can at least go find the deed. And if I found out you quit claiming, I'm going to come punch you. But if you didn't, it'll stamp who it was, and I can go to that title company. And you want to make sure you can get a reissue, you get a discount on your insurance.
Jennifer, how big of a team do you have that does all of this work?
So, and it's funny too, because I always tell people I'm sort of your concierge. So even though I have multiple processors and escrow officers, and when you turn in your file, you know, it's not a ton of people. I hate that. I hate when there's so many people that don't know you're talking to. So, and one of the reasons why I use that Qualia system is the whole file is in a portal, and you watch it go down the chain. Like, when the earnest money comes in, it toggles off and tells you. When the commitment's done, it tells you. When the realtor says this is what my commission is, it puts it on the HUD. So there's less mistakes, and you can kind of watch it, but I have a gal that's your initial person, and we have a processor, and then there's an escrow officer who does the final numbers. But I always tell people that there's a few people with quality and things you can look at, but I'm the concierge. So if you have a question or anything, it's so much faster if you just ask me, because then I know who in my company, because you might be asking a deed question versus a title question versus a policy question, And I hated that when I bought houses, and I'm like, who is working on this farm? The other good thing is too, in title, you work with so many lenders and you work with so many realtors. So if you ever have questions like, who's a good lender?
Yeah.
Who's a good, I can tell you. And the LO, the lender himself might be great, but the processing team may stink, right? You know that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice thing in our world, because we're dealing with, you know, hundreds of transactions a month, and you see all these extra players, or even wholesalers, or shady investors, or
there's the good and the bad in every aspect. Yeah.
Well, then where's the great place to go for a HELOC?
I've got some great people. There's no lenders in here, right?
Other than David and Tammy, they're starting.
We're bridge loans, so this is totally different.
You need a good bridge loan?
No, we are the bridge loan.
Oh, you are the bridge loan.
We need the HELOC.
Yeah, I've got some great ones, because most lenders kick up their rates just a little bit, because that's how they get paid. So you want to find somebody who works in volume, and I've got some people you'll get a better rate, because they're paid on the size of the loan versus the ticking up the rate. So I've got, you guys all have my information, because I've got some great people. Hard money, off money, private money, regular lenders, any different types, new people.
You'll get an email.
Yeah. The best realtor's right here, obviously. So.
And he's ours, so.
Yes, Kyle, for those that came in late, Kyle is kind of our in-house realtor.
I can already tell.
Yeah.
You can just tell.
Yeah.
Not that he's in-house, but he's.
He gets us into all the properties we want to get into, so.
God, I'm so sick of breaking into him. Thanks.
I actually had to do that. Hey, I'm going to get out my credit card. And just
any other questions?
All right. Perfect.
in general here. I think we're done recording, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. All right, so who had an aha moment? Anybody have an aha moment? Mine was.